This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, chaos in the Iowa caucus. It's not the Russians. It's not the Ukrainians. It was the internal Democrat app that failed all of those campaigns. We'll talk about it today and the State of the Union tonight on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
Iowa's Democratic Party giving an update on the chaos that we saw unfold last night. The First in the Nation caucuses in Iowa releasing this statement, reading in part, quote, "While our plan is to release results as soon as possible today, our ultimate goal is to ensure that the integrity and accuracy of the process continues to be upheld."
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The Democrats have had 3 years to get ready for this. And they get a bunch of candidates that run in the first contest and they don't even get off the launch pad. Blows up on the launch pad. This is a disaster for Democrats. They've got to figure out how to fix quickly.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
And this is the problem, folks. As someone who has worked a number of Iowa caucuses, I think three, I've worked him for incumbent presidents, so very much like what President Trump did last night, where he actually blew out turnout numbers. The Republican Party did not change to adopt this new way of this two-tier voting with its apps. They did it the traditional caucus way, and he got 97% of the votes. I mean, so of the caucus votes, you know, because you've got those other random people running. But again, 97% for President Trump and an unbelievable turnout. An unbelievable turnout when you don't even really have a contest. And what information do we have from the Democrat field who spent, and I'll tell you, I feel for those campaigns on the other side of the aisle, if you will, on the Democrat side, because I've been there where you're spending basically sometimes everything you've got to make a big play in Iowa so that you get a fundraising boost to take you into New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, and ultimately Super Tuesday. And you literally, I mean, America woke up this morning, those who did not stay up late enough to see if the results would ever come out last night, America woke up to zero results, 0% reporting. And yes, there were victory speeches by some campaigns. It was interesting to see that. You know, you had Mayor Pete's campaign declare victory. You had the Biden campaign start attacking whether or not you could ever trust this result. So I'm guessing they all have precinct managers. They all have people inside. They kind of have an idea, not exactly about if they won or not, but how well they did. So if you're attacking the integrity of the process, you probably didn't do as well. And if you're out there pretty excited about it, you may not know if you won or not, but you feel pretty good that you placed maybe in the top three at least, if not better. So you can compare kind of where campaigns are based a lot off their statements. And again, I think it's just absurd. And it goes right to the heart of this. There's no allegation of hacking. I want to make that clear. The Democrat Party of Iowa made that clear. There's no allegation that this was some hack. This was a complete technical breakdown on a product that they put together and did not allow the Department of Homeland Security to assess vulnerabilities. And not just hacking vulnerabilities, but technological vulnerabilities. Or campaign vulnerabilities. They didn't allow it. Reminds me of when the FBI was not allowed to look at the DNC server and the vulnerabilities they may have. So the blame all goes on the Democrat Party and the Democrat Party of Iowa. And if you're one of these campaigns that spent millions upon millions of dollars, listen, I was in the impeachment trial, and there were people like Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Amy Klobuchar. I mean, they were catching flights late in the evening just to get back to Iowa to do a couple morning events before they had to fly back to Washington, D.C. for the beginning of the impeachment trial at 1 p.m. Eastern time every single day. This is absurd. You want these people, by the way, running Medicare for All for you? They can't figure out a small state's caucus and get the results to you before, you know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m.? Or at least tell you that it's almost like a dead heat, something like that. They've got no results to report. Now, there's bigger issues today, too. State of the Union tonight. Closing arguments yesterday in the impeachment trial. We'll play some of that for you in the second half hour. We get into the State of the Union as well. And we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. But this Iowa debacle says so much about where the Democrat...
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Clips for people from the news, and it was Chuck Todd commenting last night, and he was saying, you know, in his the way he's added up, and it may be more than this, but just these campaigns alone for the Democrat Party spent over $300 million. And I will tell you, as someone who has worked those in the Iowa caucus, I may not be a Democrat, I feel for those campaigns and their staffers who have been working, I guarantee you, 18, 19, 20 hour days leading up to the caucus, getting no sleep at all these final days. And then on caucus night, no results. The morning after, no results. It's now afternoon, no results. The campaigns have moved on to New Hampshire, and yet these Iowa teams, who are usually your key folks, your key on-the-ground players, have got nothing to show for the work that they've done because they have no actual proof. They can tell you about how their precinct numbers look. They can tell you how it looked here and there, but it is just absolutely absurd. I mean, Tate on Facebook wrote in. I'll send this around to all of our guests today and our commentators, if you will. Tate wrote on Facebook: is anyone having a worse week than the Democrat Party? You know, the impeachment's going down tomorrow. President gets his State of the Union tonight. And you don't even get not even a clear winner out of Iowa. You get no results, another failure. It's like, who wants to lose the election? Remember when they said give illegal immigrants full health care and they all raised their hand? Picture from the New York Post. Who wants to lose an election again when you show that you're too incompetent to even run your own party's nominating contest in a small state that's been doing this for decades, but you had to use Hillary Clinton's old staff to create a new app, what, to keep Bernie Sanders out? I mean, no conspiracies here. You've got to be pretty upset if you come from those campaigns that aren't from the mainstream of the party, basically giving Joe Biden a pass to the presidency or to round two of this, when in fact he's never done better than 1% in Iowa, and you have to wonder how bad it was for him. Or maybe it was great for him. And how horrible would you feel for his campaign if they I just want to send it around. It seems like the Democrat Party is just worse after worse after worse. And the president's going to get up there tonight in the State of the Union and talk about, you know, rebuilding America, a better future, while the stock market is doing great, the economy is doing great. We're making these trade deals even in the midst of all that impeachment stuff. He was signing the USMCA. He's going to continue to work for the American people, and they can't even get their caucus to work.
Yeah, it's not a good week for the Democrats. You know, as you mentioned, you know, their efforts to get rid of this president through a conviction of their impeachment thing is failing miserably and will be voted on tomorrow. Actually, today, the president's poll numbers are up. And this was the launch of a nine-month campaign to get rid of Donald Trump. And this launch blew up on the launch pad today, yesterday in Iowa. And you're right. You know, when campaigns spend money like this and time and effort, it's very discouraging to them. And these people want to run our country, and they can't even run a caucus. But it is discouraging. And, you know, the Bernie Sanders supporters, they're a little suspicious of the establishment anyway. And this only fuels that suspicion. I know 2 days ago in a speech, Bernie Sanders made the comment in a speech that they were going to stand up to the establishment, he said, both in the Democrat and the Republican Party. And this sort of, you know, you see what's going on there, and you can understand why they can feel disenfranchised and very suspicious. The fact that the communications director for the Democratic Party in Iowa said that this was not an app failure, but it was about reporting inconsistencies, you know, that's a red flag for Bernie supporters.
Oh, it's a red flag for a lot of campaigns who were thinking that this is, again, trying to protect the establishment, trying to protect the middle. I mean, Than, here we are, we're supposed to be getting that who won Iowa, when we lead into the State of the Union, then we lead into an impeachment exoneration acquittal vote tomorrow. Senators are on the floor right now. Some will be boycotting. Some will be on the campaign trail. Surprise, surprise. But the truth is, this is just making the Democrats look inept.
Yeah, I mean, it was the one opportunity this week, Jordan, for the Democrat Party to sort of gain a positive story by getting positive coverage out of Iowa. I was joking around with some of the staff here, Jordan. The sort of the motto is, you know, Iowa, you caucus, we decide. That's what it felt like last night. Because, look, I mean, you've worked this before, Jordan. You know this is true. The 41 pledged delegates that are available there, of course they're important. Of course you want them. But they're not enough to be determinative anyway. That was not the point. The point was to get momentum heading into some of the bigger states. So, you know, just theoretically, let's say Bernie Sanders and Mayor Pete did do well. Let's say they were the two winners. Jordan, the momentum that they should have gotten out of that to carry themselves to the next 48 hours, it's gone. I mean, all the speculation, it's gone. So even if they did win, Jordan, what you would typically get out of it as a political advantage, they've lost and squandered, if not all of it, just about all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I want to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. Listen to this exchange between Wolf Blitzer, and this is one of the precinct chairs. And so Wolf Blitzer's talking to them about the reporting. And it goes back and forth between Wolf Blitzer and a guy named Sebastian, and he's just trying to report on what's happening from his precinct. Take a listen to this, Bite 9.
Sean, have you gotten any explanation at all as to what's going on?
No, I have not. No. I'm just waiting on hold and doing my best to report the results from my precinct.
What are you hearing? I know you're listening to a conversation from the Iowa Democratic Party.
That's all for you with Iowa Democratic Party. Can I help you?
This is a real coincidence, Wolf. I just got off hold just now, so I've got to get off the phone to report the results.
All right, go ahead and report your results. Can we listen in as you report them, Sean?
Yep.
All right, let's listen.
All right. Okay, hi. Hello? They hung up on me. They hung up on me. Okay, I've got to get back in line on hold.
You know, right there I think shows the problem is that there were people calling in the results, and even the phone operators were getting hung up on. So I don't know what that has to do with the app. It seemed like the app was working in some places. Mm-hmm. It goes back to what you said, Wes, was that it wasn't just the app. It was irregularities.
Yeah.
And just like that poll that didn't come out.
Yeah, that's very suspicious and foreboding. And the fact that the app was created by two former staffers for Hillary Clinton, you know, and you look at the bad blood between Clinton and Sanders, this is not good.
No, it's not at all. I mean, so Harry, we go into this. This is an important day for the president because of the State of the Union. And the State of the Union will focus on themes that we expect, the economy, healthcare, national security, and immigration. I think all this talk about, is he going to acknowledge impeachment and all this talk? And I would actually bet money that he would not. I think he's going to talk to the American people because this is kind of this will be his last State of the Union before the election in November. And so he's going to be talking directly to, in my opinion, the American people. Yes, to Congress, but it's really a speech where you get all the coverage as long as you'd like to take. to talk about all of your accomplishments, and there have been many. There have been many that were talked about during the impeachment trial when they were trying to say, oh, the president only cares about himself. And we talk about these trade deals. We talk about the U.S. economy, the jobs that have been added. I think that is what people are going to hear. Plus, what else he wants to get done in the future as well.
I think that's precisely correct. So unemployment has hit a record low. The president has signed a massive and important international trade deal with Mexico and Canada. Home ownership has hit a record high. The unemployment rate for African Americans and Hispanics has hit the lowest record in American history. Wages are rising sharply for working class Americans. And we have a situation where Adam Schiff, the House lead impeachment manager, now claims that if President Trump is not impeached, he will sell Alaska to the Russians, move to Florida, and name Jared Kushner acting president, thus delegating to him a decision to go to war. Against that backdrop, we now have the Iowa caucus disaster. And basically, this is a big story because it may suggest, among other things, election interference by Clinton campaign veterans. Keep in mind that the DNC, they attempted to interfere in the 2016 election by hiring Christopher Steele to gather dirt on President Trump. Now Clinton campaign veterans, they are the ones that created this app. They are the ones that denied the Department of Homeland Security the right to access and test the app. And so I think this raises a number of questions about the Democrats' competence. Remember, that's the party that gave us the Obamacare website disaster. And so now additional questions will arise. And so I think the American people have a right to ask questions and ask whether or not James Comey perhaps will now investigate the Democrats' incompetence in Iowa.
I mean, you have to laugh at this because remember, they wouldn't let the FBI check out how their server hacked. They blamed on Russia, which they blamed on the Trump campaign, which we later found out had nothing to do with the Trump campaign, through the Mueller report. Was it the Ukrainians? I'm glad I didn't wake up to that. At least the way I woke up to the conspiracy that it's probably the Clintons who are responsible for it. And maybe that's not such a conspiracy at all. It's these mainstream Democrats scared to death of someone like Bernie Sanders taking the party from them. Or maybe afraid of a Mayor Pete, who's kind of an unknown. As well, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, president's job approval, highest it's been. Highest it's been.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Coming in from Iowa, and I want to go right to it, and I think it'll really hit to the heart of this whole thing, because for people in Iowa, I just want to let you know, they take this extremely seriously, this role that they have as First in the Nation caucus, and there's the First in the Nation primary in New Hampshire. It's a small enough state, not necessarily geographically, but by population, where you can shake a lot of hands if you spend time there, meet a lot of people, certainly have your campaign staff have a lot of direct contact with the voters, so they really get to know these candidates, and to then, after all of that, come through it, not just say it's too close to call and here are the numbers, but we have no numbers. And I guess they just did a briefing for the campaigns. We haven't gotten a report about what that briefing ultimately got to, and maybe we're going to get numbers later today. Maybe we're not. I mean, you kind of wonder, do you ever get numbers out of this? But let me go to Martin in Iowa. He's calling from the state on line one. Martin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. What happened last night is one of the reasons why I don't even like to attend a caucus.
Yeah.
Because it's very frustrating. And to think that if I did go, what a waste of time.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. I don't know your political leanings, Martin. The Republican caucus ran the same way it's always run. It is a very long time commitment, by the way. I will tell you that even the way that has worked, you don't just like go in, vote, leave. You've got to go in, get in the door by a certain time, then the door closes, and you've got to basically wait. You have to hear from each representative that if the campaign has a representative to speak, or if there's not a representative there, someone can decide to be the representative from that campaign. They get to speak, and then this caucus occurs. But the way the Democrats did it this time, they were going to have a two-tiered process then where you could move around the room, and if your candidate wasn't viable at 15% of the room based off how many people showed up, you could then change who you were going to be with. So it'd be like a number one vote and a number two vote. And the number two vote would be the bigger vote. But also you could kind of have you could either be a double winner out of Iowa, or you could kind of be like, well, I won that first round and then someone else won the second round. I mean, there were different ways for winners to come out of this. And right now it looks like that was just too complicated to pull off.
It does. I mean, if a candidate hadn't reached that 15% viability rate, Jordan, on the first caucus or the first gathering, those caucus goers could move to another one. And if they cleared 15, they would get pledged delegates at the end of the night. But that's really sort of a long way, Jordan, of saying what Martin just said. And this was one of my first thoughts when I saw this story start to come out, is what a shame for those Iowans that went and spent hours doing this. Look, there are pros and cons of primaries and caucuses. There are strong opinions on either side. And I'm not telling you that one is good and one is bad. But Jordan, if you're going to ask tens of thousands of voters or caucus goers to come out and spend hours, you better give them an outcome that they can depend on. Because look, I don't care if you're a winner or a loser. When they come out today, Jordan, and announce these results, is anybody going to believe them?
No.
I'm not sure if I was a caucus goer, I would believe them.
I wouldn't believe them, especially if it looked different than my internal numbers show, which all these campaigns put people in every single precinct. I did it last time around. The last caucus where the Republicans were the main focus, as well as the Democrats. And so, you know, we were out there doing the caucus. And I will tell you that you have people everywhere making sure that the numbers add up, especially if you're one of the top four campaigns in the state and you're really competing to win. So you know how you should have been doing, at least a pretty good guess. And not just a guess, based off some numbers. But, you know, we have a question that came in from Janet on Facebook. She said, what's the difference between a caucus and a primary? Well, one thing, in a primary, you could just count the results. Okay, so let's say you had to go to the paper ballots or the printouts from the machines. You could then have people just go through those and count the results. It's not based off all these percentages and who moved there and who moved there. And then when you change the way a caucus used to work with technology that had obviously not been tested thoroughly, and by the way, the numbers are not showing that the turnout was like triple or quadruple what it's ever been. Some numbers are saying it didn't even meet the 2008 levels, which was Barack Obama versus Hillary Clinton. And they're kind of writing off saying, but it was Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Okay, I thought they wanted to just get rid of Trump so bad that there should have been. I mean, that would, you'd think that would have been their excuse, right? My first thought, guys, was that the excuse would have been, wow, our turnout was so insane. It was so high that we that our systems totally did fail because there's that much momentum to take out Trump. And instead, they couldn't go with that argument. The reason why is there were too many reporters around all those caucus locations telling us that turnout wasn't so high there.
Yeah, and the fact that they haven't even reported factually what happened. You're getting all this conflicting information, and then right now everyone got 000 if you look at the candidates on there. You know, it fuels the conspiracy theorists. It's not fair to Iowans who spent all this time doing it. It's not fair to the campaigns who spent time and money doing it. It's not fair to the senators, you know, who during the impeachment week were still going back and forth to Iowa as well. It's been bad. And you know, the conspiracy theorists will think about this, and especially those who are Bernie Sanders supporters. They will remember, for example, that in the last election that Donna Brazile, who is the interim director of the Democratic National Committee, gave the questions at a debate ahead of time to the Hillary Clinton campaign. You know, this just feeds into all of that for Sanders supporters.
So my dad is going to join us, Colin, in the first 5 minutes in the next half hour. So you don't want to miss that. We've got about 2 minutes left before we go into the next half hour and just a 1 minute break in between that. And I do want to kind of wrap this part up. We're going to get into the State of the Union. We're also going to get into the closing arguments yesterday by the president's legal team, by the White House, by the House managers as well. You know, Democrat senators are taking to the floor right now to make their speeches yesterday, but ultimately the vote is tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. You have the State of the Union tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time with a joint session of Congress. That'll be held in the House of Representatives. And so my dad is going to be joining us. Jay Sekulow will be joining us as well, since they wrapped up all of the arguments they'll be making on the floor of the Senate. That finished yesterday afternoon, right after we were off the air. I hope some of you saw that. If not, we've got clips to play from you from that. I mean, Than, just to kind of sum up, you had, for Democrats, you had this impeachment. I'd call that a debacle because they didn't get to round two, which was their witness hope, which they could drag the president through the mud, drag this out through, drag the Senate through this, even though ultimately it would likely all 99.9% lead to an acquittal. Because you're not going to get to 67. Adam Schiff and his team failed that. He's getting questions like, would you have done something differently? I would have, Than. I would have not called the House the Senate treacherous on day one. I would not have called the president a dictator when there's an election coming up. I wouldn't have said this is a coup. I wouldn't have blamed senators and told them that they were on trial. And those were the first utterings we heard. And it's how Adam Schiff closed yesterday as well. You'll be forever tied with a steel pole to Donald Trump. Like, what is he talking? We have elections that presidents come and go. A lot of these senators don't. They stay. They're not. You know, it's just the wrong. It was the wrong tone. I don't care how much praise he got from the liberal media. They failed.
It was a tremendous tactical error. And the other tactical error, Jordan, was they didn't finish their job in the House, and then they came and tried to present half a case to the United States Senate. And I will tell you this, if you listen closely to Senator Manchin's remarks on the floor of the Senate yesterday, it's exactly what he said. He said the prosecutors brought a case that was not thorough and asked the Senate to do the House's job. Jordan, I would just tell you, I read those comments to read, Joe Manchin's going to vote to exonerate.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would feel like those kind of senators, places like West Virginia, you get some Democrat support. I don't know how much, but I know there are Democrats wrestling with it because of how poorly the House brought these articles. Like Dan said, the process was so bad. Leave out what they were charging. The process was so bad. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. My dad will be joining us live at the top.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
I'm talking about freedom.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So our breaking news is that, oh, the Iowa Democratic Party is going to release, quote, the majority of caucus results at 5 p.m. Eastern time today. Not all, so you will not have a final results. I don't know that you will ever get final results. I can tell you this. I don't want this party running my Medicare for All program. I do not want them doing that if they can't get an app to work in a relatively small by population state, a state chosen because of that, so that you can talk to the voters directly, go to their homes, go to the towns, go to the town, have the town square meetings, and they can't figure out their app, which, by the way, built by the Clinton campaign. And what part of the majority of they're coming out? Like, is it the smaller towns, the bigger cities? Whose favor? I mean, this is just $300+ million were spent by Democrat campaigns here. I know my dad is on with us. Dad, we know that there were senators in the chamber during the impeachment trial who were catching flights late at night to do a couple events in Iowa in the morning before they flew back for 10+ hours of impeachment trial. And this is on the Democrat side. I feel for them.
Well, look, I was obviously one of the last ones to speak yesterday, and we moved ours pretty quickly. But the Democrats, the House managers, as has been their pattern, took every bit of their 2 hours. We probably went an hour and a couple minutes.
Yeah.
But you could tell those senators wanted to get out. They wanted to be someplace else. But look, I mean, I'm of course, we're going to get a verdict tomorrow. I'm very confident it's going to be acquittal. I'm hopeful that we'll get a couple of Democrats to go along with this, so it'll be a bipartisan acquittal. That was what we were hoping for. We'll see what happens. You never know until the votes come in. But that will start at 4. It'll go about an hour tomorrow by the time they read the charge, send it to the chief, and all that. But on the situation, I was watching last night. It was a nice reprieve since the case was done from our end after two and a half weeks of litigating. I was watching and expecting the results in Iowa, and it became very clear at about 11:30 midnight, you're not going to get them. And you may not get them tonight. I guess they're saying they'll release some of them today.
Yeah.
But what that does to these candidates is, as you know better than anybody, Jordan, because you've worked on campaigns, coming out of Iowa is either a boost for the win, place, or show, the top three. And now it's going to be challenged no matter what is the number. No matter who wins or who loses, they're going to say Iowa doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. Iowa did. I mean, because if you don't get the numbers by at least the early hours of this morning, so where people woke up to who, like, I was expecting at least on my phone to see. You know, a winner or a loser, right? Not that it was when my baby, four-month-old son, woke up about 4:30, and I looked and said, oh, my gosh, they are not going to have any results. I mean, they're not going to – they've got nothing to report. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. No, they announced last night. It was probably – I said it pretty late. It was probably 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And they said they're not going to have until sometime, maybe today around 5 or 6 o'clock. And that wasn't all the caucus.
Right.
All the caucuses. And you and I have done those caucuses.
Yeah.
And, you know – I made a joke because they need to take out an abacus and start adding this up. I mean, this was it was bizarre to say the least. But let me say this on the case.
Yeah.
As people saw over the last 2.5 weeks, we have put on a very aggressive case for the president. I think the closing argument summed up the two different views of the Constitution. There was the view that Adam Schiff put forward, and then there was the view that we put forward, which was heavily based on the text of the Constitution, the proper roles of separation of powers, the ideas of the Founding Fathers. And although everybody quoted the Founding Fathers, they certainly were quoting them for different things. I think we put on a very good defense. We had two goals, and you know this because you were part of the team.
Yep.
One was to dismantle their case. The other was to put forward an affirmative case on behalf of the president.
Right.
I think I'm very proud of our team. I'm very proud of the lawyers we worked with. It was a great team. There was a lot of people you did not see on that team because, my goodness, we had another dozen or more than that working in the back. So there was... We had a big team, as they did, and I think we'll be very pleased with the conclusion tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It will fall off the news very quickly. It already has, and I think that's a good thing, too, and
that
the country
is a good
can
thing
move
for
forward.
The country. And, you know, Dad, I think keep seeing Adam Schiff, those other House managers, ask would they done anything differently. I think they're not being honest when they realize what they should have done differently is gone through the normal process in the House and take the time to do this if they really believed in this, which, honestly, it was all a political stunt.
What the founders wanted them to do, they did not do. That's
right.
The problem.
And that is what...
Not do what the founders wanted.
Yep, and that's the reason they got the verdict they are going to receive tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. We will be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I'm glad my dad was able to join us. As you know, he's been very busy. This whole team was very busy. We're all just starting to kind of catch up on a little bit of sleep. But, you know, there was a ton of adrenaline, too, flowing through you. When this is all over and when that vote is done, we'll have a lot to say about this experience. I don't want to get into a lot of the behind the scenes more than we already have until, you know, the senators have cast their final vote. It's not nasty or negative about anyone. It's just, let's get this case of the impeachment is still going until the acquittal is done tomorrow, until that vote is taken. And I think we have a lot to focus on today as well. One, the closing arguments. Two, the State of the Union tonight and this total Iowa chaos that we are seeing. I mean, as we heard Chuck Todd talking about how, you know, if you're Pete, Mayor Pete, who again was doing the traditional Iowa, New Hampshire campaign and not yet broaden out to open up offices all across the country, was going to use these two states to try to do that, to have the momentum and the money to do that, and you get nothing from this? Wait, at 5 o'clock, you'll get some results, the majority of the results, but not all the results? Can you claim that you're a winner if it's not the final results or the full results? I mean, that again, undercuts people like him. It benefits the Joe Bidens, who looked like they weren't going to do as well, and then you're right into New Hampshire next Tuesday. So, I mean, literally, less than you're a week away from New Hampshire, they have a primary. You'll get results that night. You know, they start at midnight. That one town in New Hampshire has their voting at 12:01. So, I think, again, as Lynn wrote in on Facebook, the Obamacare website failed to launch on day one. Remember that? Now the Iowa caucus app built by the Democrats, the Iowa caucus held by Republicans, everything ran fine. The Iowa caucus app built by the Democrat fails. I thought the Democrats were supposed to be good with technology. I will tell you, the Republican Party has been spending significant amount of resources on new fundraising tools. Just look at the numbers between what the RNC has raised and the DNC has raised. I will tell you, some of that has come from the technological tools like WinRed is one of those tools. Some of you who have donated to political campaigns on the Republican side have seen that tool being utilized already. It's very simple to use. It's very easy to use, and it provides a lot of data. I want to play this. My dad was on with us. He joined us live. He made his closing arguments on behalf of the president yesterday in the president's legal team. It was him. You saw Ken Starrigan, Pat Cipollone, Pat Philbin. You saw, again, Mike Papura as well. And so you also, but in my dad, I think this was a key moment. And we had kind of been saving it. We'd hinted at this throughout the trial. But he didn't just close with words. He closed, because you're allowed to do this in the trial, by showing a video to the Senate and thus to the country of just how long these House Democrats have been calling for the president to be impeached. How far back it goes? Well, how about till the moment he was elected and when he took the oath? So I'll listen to this. He sets up what he's about to show the Senate and the country, and then he plays it for him. Take a listen.
This entire campaign of impeachment that started from the very first day that the president was inaugurated was a partisan one, and it should never happen again. For 3 years, this push for impeachment came straight from the president's opponents, and when it finally reached a crescendo, it put this body, the United States Senate, into a horrible position. I want to start by taking a look back. On the screen is a graphic of a Washington Post headline on January 20th, 2017. The campaign to impeach President Trump has begun. This was posted 19 minutes after he was sworn in. I also want to play a video where members, as early as January 15th, 2017, before the president was sworn into office, were calling for his impeachment.
I want to say this for Donald Trump, who I may well be voting to impeach.
I think that Donald Trump has already done a number of things which legitimately raise the question of impeachment.
And I will fight every day until he is impeached.
I rise today, Mr. Speaker, to call for the impeachment of the President of the United States of America.
The main reason I'm interested is not so much to win the Senate, which is a byproduct, it's because I think he's committed impeachable offenses and he's the scarlet eye on his chest.
But if we get to that point, then yes, I think that's grounds to start impeachment proceedings.
So we're calling upon the House to begin impeachment hearings immediately.
Why do you think that President Trump specifically should be impeached?
Well, there are five reasons why we think he should be impeached.
On the impeachment, Donald Trump, would you vote yes or no?
I would vote yes. I would vote to impeach.
Because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
I introduced articles of impeachment in July of 2017. All I did yesterday was make sure that those articles did not expire.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It is time to bring impeachment charges against him.
My personal view is that he richly deserves impeachment.
One of the members of the House of Representatives said, we're bringing these articles of impeachment so he doesn't get elected again. And here we are 10 months before an election, doing exactly what they predicted. The whistleblower's lawyer, Mr. Zaid, sent out a tweet on January 30th, 2017. Let me put that up on the screen. The coup has started. First of many steps. Rebellion. Impeachment will follow ultimately. And here we are.
All right. Of course, I mean, you could go through all that. The whistleblower lawyer, were they someone that was, again, suggested by Adam Schiff's Intelligence Committee staff? Adam Schiff was so scared about answering. He was just unwilling to answer any of those questions. He did the whole crying game of, oh, my staff, oh, my, they, I can't talk about them. And they are under so much pressure. I mean, Than, they are public servants. And if they're caught up in this and their boss wants to impeach the president and then lead the House management, it's fair game to talk about because he lied about that initial contact. And yet he did the crying game in front of the U.S. Senate. Just another failure by Adam Schiff and the House managers, in my opinion, to not answer the questions from U.S. senators.
Well, it's how the whole thing began in the United States Congress, Jordan. I mean, how it began in the deep state goes back even further than that. But certainly Chairman Schiff and his staff have to be accountable for how it began. And, Jordan, I think it went even worse when Chairman Schiff was not willing to present his own report to the Judiciary Committee. So at no point did he have to substantively answer questions from the opposing side. I mean, yes, on the floor of the Senate, he had to answer questions from senators. But, Jordan, you know this. That's nowhere near the same as answering the questions that would have been brought to him from the White House counsel, the party that is responsible for defending the accused. Jordan, but the two things in your dad's closing statement there that were the most important to me. One, he emphasized the importance of defending the American people's right to vote and choose their own leaders. And second, Jordan, he argued against perpetual impeachment, which we have argued against. To me, that vote to exclude witnesses was the most important one on this point. They said to the House, we will not do your job. We will not allow for perpetual impeachment. If we're going to impeach, you've got to clear that hurdle on that side of Capitol Hill.
All right, I'm going to take another phone call, 1-800-684-3110. Another Iowan, Charlie in Iowa, on line one. Charlie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thanks very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
I just, resident of Ankeny, Iowa.
Yep.
It's near, just suburb north of Des Moines. We attended the Republican caucus last night. It ran like clockwork. It was perfect. And then we were surprised and pleased to have Laura Trump opened promptly at 7 o'clock, spoke on behalf of the president. And we, after about, I'd say 40 minutes, broke up into smaller groups. We caucused within our own precinct, and I was home by 8:25.
Yeah. And typically, I mean, listen, it wasn't a contested caucus, but even in those contested years, I mean, Charlie, do you remember going back to maybe even like 2016 in the caucus then when it was contested? Did it take 7 hours and did you get results that night?
Oh, no. Oh, we had results. It took, maybe 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly, but yes, we did attend those. My wife and I attended those,
right,
too.
And those are big. I would tell you, Ankeny, where he's talking about, these are the suburbs of Des Moines. Those are some of the bigger caucus sites, would you say, Charlie?
Yes. This one here, Ankeny, is a city now like 65,000.
Yeah.
And all the Republicans met at one site in Ankeny.
Yeah, I mean, so pretty amazing there. And you saw, the members of the Trump family were there. So they were out in full speed. As an Iowan, kind of want to finish up this segment this way, because we're talking about State of the Union next segment as well. But as an Iowan, this failure by Democrats, how bad do you think this hurts the caucus process in general? Not just for Democrats, but also for Republicans and just the state when they can't get these numbers out?
Well, I hope it doesn't mean the end of the caucus system.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I grew up with it, so I'm used to it. I hate to see it fall out, and I hate to see Iowa not be first anymore. But, part of that is, of course, a little bias for being an Iowa native.
But I think, this is a tradition for the whole country and a tradition for political campaigns. It is. I mean, I know as an Iowan, I'm sure, yes, you've got your own reasons for why. But it is also, it's a kind of a tradition for the whole country. To have this caucus go first, to see this disaster happen for the Democrats, and we're going to get most of the numbers out by 5 o'clock the next day. After, quoting Chuck Todd, over $300 million spent, and I have a feeling that doesn't even get to probably could double that number. We're talking about the private planes that had to be chartered to get people back and forth because of the impeachment trial.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
James wrote in something interesting, because we're already hearing, oh, they're going to keep their investigations going. And by the way, they will continue to harass this president so long as they control a branch of Congress. So if President Trump's reelected and they've got the House, senators, and let's say Republicans have the Senate, they will continue to harass the president. If they, for some reason, the president got reelected and they got the Senate and the House, they'll try the impeachment move again. I mean, which is still very uphill because you got to get to 67. And they will come up with different reasons why. They're going to start subpoenaing more people. They're going to continue investigating. I mean, Adam Schiff, we're going to switch to the State of the Union, but Adam Schiff, obviously, he cannot give this one up. He is totally ignoring the problems in his own district, by the way, which is having a huge drug problem in California. And there's even other Democrats thinking about jumping in what they call their jungle primary system to run against him because he has ignored what's happened in his own congressional district.
I think there are dozens of House members who can't give it up, Jordan. I would start in the Senate and say, I think you've got to get to even more than 67 Democrats, because I don't think you're going to get a Republican to vote for conviction, and I think you're going to lose at least a couple of Democrats. So you might need 75 Democrat senators to convict. But in the House, Jordan, I mean, I said this yesterday on the broadcast, you don't have to replace Adam Schiff with a Republican if you're a Democrat in the district that votes Democratic. But I do think you have to hold someone, even if you still are a Democrat, you have to hold people accountable for their votes and for their adherence to the Constitution. Maybe you are, you know, you do prefer left-wing liberal ideas, but you don't have to accept someone who advances those ideas in a way that tramples the Constitution like this. So I would look at both Republicans and Democrats and say, look at how they behave during the course of this case and decide if that's how you want your federal official to represent you here.
Yeah, I mean, James on Facebook wrote, is there such thing as double jeopardy when it comes to an impeachment? I mean, the truth is, Harry, it's up to Congress. Congress sets the rules. It's not. Constitution's very clear. We were very clear about that as well. There are deficiencies. There are ways. There are issues that you argue outside of Congress. Executive privilege being asserted. Things like subpoenas that being asserted. But I mean, double jeopardy. These rules. I don't think that they would bring back the exact same charges, anyways. But they're going to look for something new constantly to harass, however they can harass the president. Now, a big victory by the president in this election, big Republican victory in the Senate, maybe even the House too, and they won't be able to do that. And they can complain all they want about it, but they won't be able to do that. I do think they may think twice about bringing this to the Senate because they could not even get this to round two of the trial.
I think that's precisely correct. So Adam Schiff has said, is there someone among you who will say enough to President Trump? It turns out that there is more than one Democrat and virtually all Republicans who will say to Adam Schiff, we have had more than enough of you.
Yeah.
We have had more than enough of your histrionics. We have had more than enough of your accusations. We have more than enough of your claims that if the Senate doesn't go your way, that they are complicit in illegal activity. We have had more than enough of the Democrats' claims that unless the Senate goes along with the House's shoddy investigation, that they have engaged in treachery or even perhaps treason. So one of the things that Adam Schiff has done extremely well is he has leveled virtually accusations at virtually everyone, particularly individuals who do not agree with him. So I think the American people are saying to Adam Schiff, and I think the Senate will say the same, Adam Schiff, we've had enough. Please go home and come up with a new line.
It's so interesting as we head into the State of the Union tonight, which the president typically can get a bump from, as well as he speaks to the American people about the accomplishments and also moving forward. I think for the for the theme is we're moving away from Make America Great Again to Keep America Great, talking about the great American comeback. They were on that path. So it's not about just Make America Great Again. It's keeping that path. Keep forward moving on so many different issues. Think about this. The president among independents in this new Gallup poll, just independents, 42% said they approve of Trump. That's up from 37% in January. Than that is a 5% increase in the Gallup poll during the impeachment.
Yeah, it's huge, Jordan, and it goes back to the list that Harry ran down earlier. You know, time and time again, every election, if you take an exit poll, it's the impact on the pocketbook of a candidate that is primarily first and foremost in their minds. When you're talking about unemployment that it's a 50-year low, minority unemployment that's similar, markets hitting all-time highs, Jordan, if you're the opposing candidate, I don't care which party you are, if you're the opposing candidate running against the president with that record, you better have a very good plan to beat them. That's why tonight, that's what I expect to see. I think the president will say, look, the other party can talk about this, the impeachment effort, all they want. They can continue to talk about that. But if I run on this record, I'm going to be elected come November. So, Jordan, I think that's going to be, 95%, if not 100% of tonight's speech.
A lot of people are asking us to post the video of my dad and doing the showing the videos. You know, that's something I could tweet out. So maybe the guys can clip that so I can tweet that out from my Twitter account again. So we'll try to put that video out. I think that the video is out of just the remarks, but not necessarily him both introducing them and then kind of putting a cap on them. So we'll have our social media team pull that. It was all public through C-SPAN, so we can pull that. And I will tweet that out later today so people can have that. They want to share that on social media. Also, the president is at his highest approval rating in a Gallup poll ever since he took office. But I want to take Julie's call as a final call of the day. Then we'll do kind of a wrap on what to expect and not to expect during the State of the Union. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just want to say my thoughts are, given what I've read about the caucuses, the caucus mess, most of it regards reporting. Mm-hmm. I also read an article that one polling wasn't released because it wasn't going to show Biden favorably.
Right.
Then we had the Bernie stacking issues. I watched the Kavanaugh hearings. I watched the Mueller stuff. I watched the impeachment inquiry and most of the trial.
Yeah.
Given their tactics, I'm wondering if they're stalling to take away from the State of the Union and take the reporting away from that, and they'll wait until right about then to release their results.
Oh, I could see now that they've had to deal with this mess of them coming back and having the final result, 10:30 tonight, whatever the State of the Union is over, so they could switch having to talk about what will be talking about American successes to talk about that. But I'll tell you, they sound disastrous. It sounds disastrous what we're hearing about the fact that they're going to release the majority of the results at 5, but not all the results. So I just think that they, whatever they do, yeah, they will always try to distract from the president if they can. So if they get the full results later on tonight, but the fact is, the fact that we couldn't wake up and today we're not even on this broadcast able to talk about who won or who tied even. It's too close to call between these two candidates or even three candidates. Is just absurd in 2020 that they can't get their act together and they can't get it together to get the majority to sometime at 5 p.m. By the way, a lot of talk radio and a lot of the radio that we do too, especially the conservative talk world, Rush Limbaugh, who has been really the leader there, announcing the cancer that he will be battling. So, and he also talked about, and he doesn't talk about it often, says he doesn't talk about it often, is his personal relationship with God, that he does have a serious one, just not one he talks about a lot on the air. Let's all pray for him as well. This is someone, again, who really lets you in. He's not someone who lets in a lot about his personal life and what's going on, but he has gotten a very serious battle ahead. And so many of our good friends, they say, without Rush, so you hear from Sean and others, that they would not exist. So let's pray for Rush Limbaugh, what he's going through as well. Full coverage of the State of the Union and the trial tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org. where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.